Tanya, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So what exactly is Labor proposing in relation to raising the ATAR for teaching degrees?
Well, we've been talking to the university education departments about this, to teachers, to parents. We're very concerned because if you look at high-performing systems across the world, school systems, most of them draw their teachers from those in the top 30% of academic aptitude. So whatever measure they use for kids who are finishing high school or people going into teaching degrees, they're looking for basically the top 30% of academic achievement. We used to, about 10 years ago, 2005, about a third of all our teaching students were in that category. That's fallen to about 20%. One in five are now in that top academic area, and that does really concern us. I mean, ATAR is not a perfect measure of someone's aptitude to be a teacher. It takes a lot more to be a great teacher than being smart. You have to be smart, but you have to be empathetic, you have to be patient, you have to have all of those personal characteristics that we remember in our great teachers. But it does concern me that the ATAR trend to get into a teaching degree keeps going down and down. And that's bad because there will obviously be some people who spend 3 or 4 years at university getting a teaching degree who don't get a job at the end of it because their employers will look at their academic aptitude and say, no, I'm sorry, I don't want you teaching in my school. So they've wasted their time and they've wasted their money at university. It's also bad if you get people who are struggling still with their own learning getting into teaching. That's obviously something that you wouldn't want in any school. Principals don't want it. The principals and existing teachers are telling me very strongly that they're concerned about the falling academic standards to get into teaching. And as a parent, you don't want to think that the person who's teaching your kid to read doesn't like to read themselves.
And you mentioned, I guess, an ATAR isn't always the best indication of potentially a person's suitability for teaching. We see medical degrees, there's the GAMSAT test. Would a test like that be something worthwhile installing for teaching?
Look, it's something very well worth exploring, I think. So GAMSAT is a very well-known test. There are other tests, for example, to get into some law degrees, you have to sit a sort of pre-qualification test. It is something that it would be well worth exploring. And your ATAR can be terrible because you had a bad year in Year 12. You could have, your dog died, you broke up with your boyfriend, much worse, your parents split up, you were homeless, you got pregnant. Like, there are all sorts of reasons that someone might not achieve highly in Year 12. We need to have alternative pathways into teaching, but we can't afford to have a system where the trend is for a larger and larger proportion of people to be people who haven't achieved well academically themselves. So looking at tests on the way in, some jurisdictions, New South Wales, for example, is testing on the way out of a teaching degree. But even the tests that are being employed at the moment are pretty basic tests. They're not really picking up people. They're picking up people who are completely unable to read, write, do maths and so on. They're really not helping to target our recruitment to that top 30% that we're looking for. So we need to look at the testing regimes, but we also need to look at making sure people who are considering their career options see teaching as a really attractive option. I think the teaching profession is very well respected as a whole. I think it's incredibly rewarding work. Teachers will tell you how much they love their jobs. But there are frustrations. There are, at the top end of very highly skilled teachers, those teachers are moving out of the classroom because their wages basically plateau when they reach a certain level of experience. There are other frustrations that a lot of teachers are saying at the moment. It's very hard to call kids out on bad behaviour when their parents are down the school 2 minutes later, having a go at the teacher for calling the child out. There are obviously frustrations in the work that we need to look at, but we need to highlight the very rewarding aspects of the work too. And that starts with governments, I think, being more respectful of the teaching profession and not blaming teachers every time we get a bad international ranking on one of those big international tests. the first thing governments do is turn around and start pointing the finger at teachers. I think that sort of behaviour has to stop.
And universities are notoriously good at just going off and doing their own thing. How would this be enforced across multiple universities in Australia?
Well, we need to talk to universities. What I would like is for the universities to manage this themselves. We have, when we were last in government, we uncapped places at universities, and we said to universities, we trust you to enrol more students, but you know, with that comes a responsibility to make sure that those students are enrolling in courses that are going to get them jobs at the end of their university degree. It means making sure that we're selecting appropriate students for the qualification that they're pursuing. It's no good enrolling someone and watching them fail, or knowing that there's not going to be a job at the end of their degree for them. So I think if universities manage this themselves, then there isn't a need for a government to take action. If they don't manage it, then I'm not ruling out places on caps on place numbers, entry tests, any of those measures are up for discussion. I think it's, you know, a terrible situation where we've got to the stage where if a young person is bright academically, achieves a good mark in their HSC, their parents and sometimes even their teachers say to them, you shouldn't waste that mark on teaching. I think we need a situation where teaching is as sought after a degree to get into as medicine, and as sought after as a profession to get into as medicine. So that's not just about entry marks, it's about a whole range of changes that we need to make, but we need to make those changes because if we don't, we're letting down our kids.
Just before I do let you go, Tanya, I did want to touch on the Wentworth by-election. It's coming up the 20th of October. It is everywhere in Sydney at the moment. The Labor candidate is Tim Murray. But Wentworth, I mean, it's never been held by anybody other than a Liberal candidate. How are you guys feeling about this election?
We're really proud of Tim Murray. He is a fantastic candidate. He's lived in China for many years. He's back now, at least in part because he saw the way that pollution was kind of destroying the natural environment in China, and he didn't want to raise his kids there. But he's a very successful businessman. He's the president of the Tamarama Surf Life Saving Club, where he introduced special programs for new migrants and Indigenous kids to get them into nippers. Like, he's a great guy, but one of the things that's great about him is he's gone into this contest with his eyes open. It's not a seat that Labor has held in the past. It's a very, very difficult seat to win, but you know, we like to stand a candidate because we like to give people a Labor person to vote for, and we like to make the case. We want to talk about the difference we see for Australia, the optimism, the investment in health and education, great jobs with decent pay and conditions, environmental policies that bring down pollution and bring down energy prices as we increase renewables. Tim wanted to make that case, and I'm proud of him for taking it on.
And say the Liberal Party does lose this seat and therefore lose their majority in the federal parliament, will Labor be looking for a chance to, I guess, force them to the polls by finding a no-confidence motion, or will you let the Prime Minister make that call in his own time?
Well, I'm very pleased that you can see a scenario where we win the seat. So thank you for that vote of optimism. Look, if the Liberals lost this seat, it would be a very, very big surprise, and I think the likelihood of us going to the polls pretty quickly after that would be strong. But I'll let you into a little secret. We're not anticipating that outcome at this stage.
Tanya, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Bye, Tess.
That was Tanya Plibersek. She's the Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Labor Spokeswoman for Education, letting us know about some of the potential changes to education that Labor would implement if they win the next federal election. And touching on Wentworth as well at the end there, the by-election coming up under 3 weeks now, 20th of October. We are not too far away.